You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the September 2019 issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which features Kristen Stewart on the cover. This is Vanity Fair Part A. From the Vanity Fair Agenda, Event. The Wallaces 2019-2020 season begins September 18th. The Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts, located in the heart of Beverly Hills, launches its seventh season of programming this September, featuring the most exciting artists and companies from around the globe, as well as Los Angeles-based performers. The Wallace will bring more than 200 thrilling performances of music, theater, and cinema to its stages, as well as an entire season of dance that will spotlight Los Angeles-based companies, including company-in-residence Body Traffic. In the photos, Joshua Roman, as well as one of the performers from Body Traffic. Thank you. Brett Hennemuth brings us this from the editors behind the issue, Picture Pages. In the photos, Glam Squad, Kristen Stewart, photographed by Alastair McClellan in Los Angeles. Makeup artist Jillian Dempsey, hair stylist Adair Abergel, and Stewart on set. And True Blue, Ta-Nehisi Coates, photographed by Annie Leibovitz in New York City. Despite the scorching summer sun, a grand fireplace roared in Hollywood as Kristen Stewart arrived with her dog Cole at the Los Altos Apartments for her Vanity Fair cover shoot. It's been nearly a decade since Stewart's first Vanity Fair cover, and photographer Alastair McClellan captured the occasion. "It's what I've always thought L.A. should look like the film Sunset Boulevard, and I could see Kristen hanging out there," says McClellan. The location has an exotic history. Betty Davis lived there, even Hearst Mistress. The haunted house turned out to be fitting for other reasons. We'll find out in the profile of Stewart in this issue. And we'll also find out if she believes in ghosts. Nostalgia inspired the process as McClellan photographed exclusively on film rather than digital. "There's something exciting about the delay. You can be more focused on your subject in the moment." Back on the East Coast, Vanity Fair contributing photographer Annie Leibovitz captured journalist and now novelist Ta-Nehisi Coates just days after he made the powerful case for reparations before Congress. In places of significance, on the Prospect Lefferts Gardens stoop of a friend from Howard University, then at the Hungarian pastry shop in New York's Morningside Heights, where Coates wrote much of his forthcoming novel, The Water Dancer. For the shoot, Coates dressed in the same suit he wore to the hearing on the Hill, and later an Ice Cube t-shirt of his own, proving that power dressing is equal parts style and substance.
Thank you.
October 21st through the 23rd, 2019, in Los Angeles at the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts, the Vanity Fair New Establishment Summit, Newsmaking Insights, Unforgettable Parties, Invaluable Connections. Confirmed speakers: Gwyneth Paltrow, Bob Iger, Hasan Minhaj, Natalie Massenet, John Favreau, Lena Waithe, Brian Armstrong, John Foley, Melina Matsoukas, Marlon James, and more speakers to be announced. For more information and to request an invitation, visit vfsummit.com. Now for some of this month's contributors. Jerga Chu Bose, Playing It Cool. Chu Bose has been a fan of Kristen Stewart, whom she profiled for this month's cover story, since 2016, when Stewart starred in Certain Women. Kristen's quiet duet, the way she shares the screen, it cracks you open, says Chu Bose, the author of Too Much and Not the Mood. Alastair McLellan, Playing It Cool. The acclaimed British photographer makes his Vanity Fair debut with his images of Kristen Stewart at Hollywood's fabled Los Altos apartments. L.A. has a great, weird, sinister edge to it, says McClellan. Apparently, our suite was haunted. It was fun having Kristen's dog on set, which relaxed things quite a lot. Baz Luhrmann, the pioneer. The director has been dear friends with Miuccia Prada since she collaborated on the suit that Leonardo DiCaprio wore in Romeo and Juliet. He photographed her after she opened a vintage Prada suitcase, threw a few items together, and did her own hair to a majestic result. Luhrmann's adaptation of his film Moulin Rouge is now on Broadway. Samira Nasser, playing it cool. I wanted to show that you can be glamorous and still be playful in your dress, says Vanity Fair's executive fashion director, who styled Kristen Stewart for this month's cover story, as well as Himesh Patel and other stars featured in Screen Share. To be able to work with such a diverse and energetic group is so exciting. Adam Leith Gallner, Diamonds in the Rough. What drew me to this story is that it's like a non-fiction version of a Nouvelle Vague film, says Gallner, the former editor-in-chief of Vice magazine, of two jewel heists at Harry Winston, Paris, totaling more than $100 million. Everything is as crazy and impossible and risky as it is true. And now for some more of this month's contributors. Jasmine Ward, The Beautiful Power. While writing this profile gave me the opportunity to meet Ta-Nehisi Coates for the first time, I've long read and admired his work, says Ward, a National Book Award-winning novelist and the author of Sing, Unburied Sing. He speaks hard truths with emotion and intellect. His fiction is no exception. Eamon M. Moyeldon, In the Crosshairs. Moyeldon, a Peabody Award-winning journalist and MSNBC anchor, interviewed more than 30 people for his investigation into Saudi Arabia's attempts to disappear dissenters. I was surprised by the fear many Saudis living abroad have about their own government's ability to reach them, and that American citizens are caught up in this too. James Reginato, A Change of Heart. I don't know anyone who bridges so many different worlds and identities, the Vanity Fair writer-at-large says of Jennifer Pritzker. She's a soldier, a trans woman, a parent, a grandparent, a billionaire, and a Republican. She could greatly impact the way trans people are depicted in the media. Vanessa Grigoriadis, The Horny Holy Man. The secretive nature of Nixivim is not fully understood, says Grigoriadis, a Vanity Fair contributing editor. Many devotees didn't know about Rainier's sexual predation. The trial was a stunning mix of salacious details and heartbreaking testimony about destroyed lives. Grigoriadis is the author of Blurred Lines, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent. Maciek Kobielski, Screen Share. For this month's style portfolio, Kobielski set out to create a series of energetic and intimate portraits true to each subject's personality. All of these wonderful actors have a great capacity to carry their characters into the scene, says the Polish-born photographer.
Thank you.
Here's the September 2019 editor's letter from Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief. On your marks. In the photos, Radhika Jones at the Dior Haute Couture Fall-Winter 2019-2020 show in Paris in July. It's hard to square how much I look forward to summer with how much I look forward to fall, but the September issue, arriving as it does in August, along with, if we East Coasters are lucky, that first hint of chill in the night air, embodies the paradox. We are still in relax mode, but underneath the sunblock, we are gearing up. My son starts kindergarten, and he needs a new backpack. Here come the fall books. Here come Fashion Week, UN Week, the film festivals showing the movies we'll be talking about through Oscar season. And so this issue spills over with artists at the top of their game. Kristen Stewart, that rare actor who shimmers effortlessly between blockbuster and indie film. This fall, it's Charlie's Angels and a Gene Seberg biopic. Ta-Nehisi Coates, whose summer included an appearance before members of Congress to testify in support of reparations for chattel slavery, an idea he has almost single-handedly powered to the upper echelons of American discourse since he first wrote about it in 2014. This fall, he publishes his first novel, and in our pages, Jessamine Ward, herself a two-time National Book Award winner, talks with him about fiction and freedom. There's Moussa Prada, still a pioneer after four decades at the helm of one of the world's most powerful fashion houses and a behind-the-scenes patron of the cinematic arts. There's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, preparing for her next act after seven seasons as a politician who once upon a more innocent time was the worst imaginable inhabitant of the West Wing. She also stars on our Emmy's special issue. There's a whole crew of rising talent crossing the ever more permeable boundaries between the big and small screens, from Yara Shahidi to Zoe Deutsch. And as the class of 2023 takes its place at colleges around the country, forget not the scammers of Varsity Blues. Evgenia Peretz reports on continuing fallout from the college admissions scandal in L.A., just in time for a new wave of high school seniors to start their applications, hopefully sans Photoshop. Now, correspondence. Star Wars. From G. Michael Stathis, Ph.D., Cedar City, Utah. Long ago and a galaxy far, far away, indeed. Has it really been that long since June of 1977? Vanity Fair's Star Wars issue has become a much anticipated and welcome event. It is somehow right that cast and crew and Annie Leibovitz ended up in Wadi Rum, where the light and colors are really out of this world. My only complaint is that my subscription issue did not have the Rey cover, a 50-50 chance. Well done to all involved. Bill McGlashan, from Michelle Brandt, Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. As the mother of a high school senior going through the admissions process, taking the SATs and ACTs for real, filling out financial information and admissions forms, going on college visits, and experiencing the anxiety of big envelope versus little envelope, Pride in the Name of Love by William D. Cohen breaks my heart. From the summer issue, that these people think they're better than everyone else and did nothing wrong makes me sick and so sad for my child and his peers. Left versus Left, from Luann Savage, Phoenix. After reading Joe Pompeo's article, Inconsistent, Incoherent, and Poorly Conceived, as the Times clamps down on reporters going on MSNBC, is this a liberal media war? I must give credit to the New York Times, VF.com. I respect that the Times maintained a newsworthy stance by pulling its reporter from Rachel Maddow's show due to cable news bias. As Pompeo suggests, maybe MSNBC did help the Times while they regrouped for the digital age, but in my memory, MSNBC and the Times pulled each other into the new age. As for Rachel Maddow holding the highest ratings moniker, I just don't get it. There are a myriad of intelligent choices for news, including Anderson Cooper, Andrea Mitchell, and Chris Wallace. Add Eugene Robinson to the mix, and I believe you have the best in the business to keep us informed. From social media, Tour de Force by Lev Grossman, Summer Issue. We fight. Thank you, Annie Leibovitz, for capturing this powerful image, and thank you to At Vanity Fair for all your support throughout this franchise. I can't wait for the audience to see us strike back this December. Hashtag Star Wars. At John Boyega. My hashtag Star Wars loving heart was thrilled. I found both of Vanity Fair's hashtag Rey and hashtag Kylo covers at Target this afternoon. At Delightful Dame. Bought at Vanity Fair for Star Wars, but stayed for Karen Olivo. Hello, Broadway stars. At SEH221. And 95 years ago, an illustration by Christopher De Lorenzo, and with a photograph by Edward Steichen, 1920, Gordon Craig, British director and theatrical set designer, wrote Vanity Fair, shown in the shadows of Notre Dame, Craig marrying art to drama. He inspired most of the new art directors in the theater, from the August 1924 issue. Thank you. Opening Act. Thomasin McKenzie speaks with Vanity Fair's Brett Hennemuth. I've been playing a lot of Sims. That's been my portal back into my own world, said Thomasin McKenzie, 19, who stars in Jojo Rabbit and Netflix's The King. Opening photograph by Rosaline Chanavaz, styled by Ursula Lake. Clothing and jewelry by Dior, hair products by Bumble and Bumble, makeup by Laura Mercier. And in the photo, Mercier wears a strapless dress in a champagne brown color with ruching at the top, gold jewelry, and hair styled in a top knot. You broke out in last year's Leave No Trace, playing a teen who lives off the grid in the Oregon forest. Did it teach you anything about disconnecting? I was banned from using my phone for a couple weeks as preparation for the film, which was eye-opening. I've always had a conflict with Instagram. It's an amazing platform to express yourself. But on the other hand, it's a trigger for a lot of mental illnesses, constantly comparing yourself to people. I learned it doesn't deserve all your time and energy. That Deborah Granik film still has a rare 100% favorable rating on Rotten Tomatoes and earned you awards buzz and your choice of Hollywood roles. How do you pick your projects now? I gravitate toward projects that have a strong message led by talented people with really specific visions. Who's on your bucket list to work with? Olivia Colman and Rooney Mara, and I love director Jane Campion. Your father is a director, and your mother is an acting coach. Was there ever any doubt that you would go into the family business? My parents always made it clear that acting isn't as it seems in the media. It's a hard job, and you're often very vulnerable. At the beginning, I was acting more for pocket money and time off from school. But when I was 13, I did a film called Consent about rape and the abuse of power in the police force, and it made me realize that acting can be a platform to make a difference. You've gravitated toward films with heavy subject matter, like the World War II dark comedy Jojo Rabbit and the true crime drama Lost Girls. When Jennifer Lawrence, another discovery of Granik to whom you're often compared, was filming Mother, she set up a Kardashian tent that played the reality show on a loop to decompress between takes. What would be in your tent? How do you clear your head? I'm currently filming Edgar Wright's Last Night in Soho, and it's absolute madness, so I've been playing a lot of Sims. That's been my portal back into my own world. Today, my laptop ran out of battery, so I have to start at level 1 again. It was a rookie mistake. This fall, you'll be seen in Netflix's The King, a who's who of young Hollywood with Timothée Chalamet, Robert Pattinson, and Lily Rose Depp. What was the most memorable part of being on set? On my first day, we were doing a big, important crowd scene with Timothée, and there was a problem with one of the props. A mechanical bird wasn't working, so everyone was freaking out. It was incredibly hot. I'm wearing this massive wig, but it was still super exciting. I was only on set for 2 days, but it's a very different role for Timothée, and I'm really excited to see how he approached it. Your Jojo Rabbit director and fellow New Zealander Taiki Waititi is known for his humorous turns in the Marvel Universe. Any chance we'll catch you saving the world on screen soon? It's not the kind of genre I envision myself in, but you never know. In the fan mail, said Taiki Waititi, Thomasin is too talented to be real. In fact, she might have been sent here from the future to teach us what acting is. And from Scarlett Johansson, she has the makings of a power performer, both wise beyond her years and spontaneously fresh. And from Ben Foster, she dazzles you with the presence of an artist who sees and feels on a level you are only beginning to sense. FaceTime. Pair these buzzy fall shows and beauty treatments for the most indulgent multitasking. Wu-Tang, An American Saga. Charting the rise of hip-hop's complicated clan out of Staten Island and into the league of major labels, this 90s rewind hits Hulu with a script co-written by Wu-Tang's RZA. Pair with MC Skin's Gold Eye Mask, a nod to the group's iconic logo, for a reparative, hydrating boost. Dickinson, the prolific poet with a brooding streak, gets a fresh look in the upcoming Apple TV series starring Haley Steinfeld as Emily Dickinson, Pair with skin guru Joanna Czech's facial massager like a writing tool but for erasing lines, and a cult face oil by Vintner's Daughter Massager and Oil, available from Joanna Czech. The Politician, set in a Santa Barbara high school, Ryan Murphy's Netflix comedy centers on a precocious power player with a cast that includes Bette Midler and Gwyneth Paltrow. Pair with Diez Pro's Swank LED mask, which emits blue light to clear acne, plus red to calm inflammation. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.